new year, new you. Lots of things are said about resolutions and goals and ideas, but I've determined that I don't want to be me without Jesus. There's nothing new, there's nothing possible for me without the Lord in my life. And so we are reaching, we're reaching in this sacred season, because now is the right time. If you ever wanted to make a change, if you ever wanted to take a step in the direction of the Lord, this is the season and this is the time. You can get in and see just how great your 2024 can be. And we're excited to walk this journey with you. So we started a new series, New Year series, this last Sunday called Song of the Year. What is your favorite song? I want you to start thinking about that, because I'm gonna get you to help me here in just a moment. I read this week that White Christmas by Bing Crosby is considered the most popular song of all time. I happen to like that song and enjoy hearing Bing Crosby sing it. It's beautiful, it's great, but obviously favorite song and most popular song is really subjective. It's kind of, you know, preference rules. Whatever your style is and whatever it is that you love. What is your favorite song? I'm sure you have a song in mind that you love to sing. You could even start singing it to your neighbor right now and just, you know, maybe lean over in their ear and just sing it to them. Your favorite song. Everyone has a favorite song. And truth is, we sing for many reasons. Most all of them have to do with joy, with good feelings, with energy, and even other people. We sing because of other people, maybe the couples in the room. Maybe you have a song. Maybe you have a song that just is special between the two of you and brings all of those wonderful feelings and memories. We're talking about Song of the Year. What will be your song in 2024? Because with this series, I want to help you find your song. What is your song of the year? What is your song? Is it fast? Is it slow? What is the tempo of your life right now? What do you want the rhythm of 2024 to be? What is the beat that gets you moving in God's direction? And you know what? You don't have to be good at singing to sing. You don't have to have the talent per se. You don't have to have the ability. Yours may be a little off key, but we make a joyful noise to the Lord, both literally, and we want our life to make a joyful noise to the Lord. We want to sing the song of the Lord. We want to sing the song of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you today about the people of God, Israel, and this generation of people who found themselves in captivity, because there was a season, there was a period of time that Israel lost her song. 70 years to be exact, because God's people do struggle. I want to normalize that. I want to normalize that for people who are beating themselves up because you're in a weird season right now, or because things are not as smooth as you want them to be. Things are not as great as you want them to be. The people of God do struggle. People who walk with God, people who are anointed of the Lord, people who are called of God. They struggle in their lives from time to time. And so here these people are in captivity, in Babylonian captivity. 70 years in captivity means that there were new generations who were born into captivity who had nothing to do with the original sin. They had nothing to do with the original issue. They had nothing to do with the original circumstance. You know what that tells me? That tells me it's possible for our kids to be born having to carry our baggage. Can I teach on this second Sunday of 2024? Exodus talks about the sins of the father visiting the third and fourth generations. I have no doubt that sins my father committed and mistakes that he made and challenges that he walked in. I have no doubt that that is a temptation in my life, and those are things that I struggle with. And you say, hey, there's something called a generational curse and you can break that. And absolutely, I break it and curse the curse and dance on top of it. But the Bible is still true that the sins of the father are going to visit generation after generation. And so I'm not just getting free for me, I'm getting free for my kids. Tell someone near you, tell them it's not just you you're working for. It's not just you you're worshiping for. You want your children to be free. You need to get healed so that your kids can be healed, and not just your kids, but their kids as well. And so, 137th Psalm, if you want to join me there, or it'll be on the screen if you have the Bible on your phone or a device, or you're carrying the actual book, Psalm 137. I'm just going to hang out in these first four verses with our time today. But Psalm 137 and 1 says, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. We sat down and wept because we were remembering Zion. This psalm is likely written by people who were in captivity. Those in captivity. Some say that Jeremiah wrote this psalm, but history says that Jeremiah was not even a part of the Babylonian captivity. He was stuck or struggling over in Egypt and wasn't even among this group. And yet, perhaps Jeremiah wrote it representing these people later on. But here they are weeping. Here they are just sitting beside the river. And the truth is, their emotion has multiple sources. It's coming from multiple directions. They have their current conditions they're dealing with, because captivity of any kind is unpleasant. And then they have their reasons for being captive. They have that, their reasons for being in a place that they don't want to be in. And of course, the scripture teaches us that God allowed this captivity because of Israel's idolatry and her disobedience. So they're literally sitting by the river in regret. They're sitting by the river in lament. They're sitting there in lamentation and sorrow, wishing they would have done things differently. Maybe they weep remembering how good they once had it. Maybe they weep remembering how much better life was once upon a time. They're thinking about the wrong turns they made. They're thinking about the wrong choices they made. They're thinking about many decisions that had they have decided differently, they may not be in this position. They may not be sitting where they are sitting. But regardless, they're sitting unmotivated, sitting struggling because they've lost the will. They've lost the passion. They've lost the drive to get up and go, to get up and live. I want you to hear me today. We can live, but it's hard to thrive when we are outside of our purpose. You may need to sit with that a moment, because you may say, well, I'm working 40 hours a week, and I'm feeding a dog, and I'm making sure fish are still swimming, and I've got kids clothed, and I'm existing, I'm functioning, I'm getting through, but I'm not thriving. Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and life more abundant. I didn't come just for you to exist. I didn't come for you just to get by. I didn't come for you just to make it. I came so that your life could be lived, in all caps, so that you could live in a blessed place, so that you could live in a place of thriving. I know this is a sad psalm we're reading from today. It's a slow ballad. They're telling the story of a people. But you know what? This may be a song that many of us know. This may be a story that many of us can tell. This remember when, remember a few years ago, remember just, you know, remember 10 years ago, remember a few months ago, things were just so much different. And now I'm sitting over here wishing I had not done that, or wishing I had not said that, or wishing I would not have turned there or had made that particular choice. Here I am singing this slow song, and my life is not what I want it to be. So look at verse 2. The Bible said that there on the poplars, King James says, there on the willows we hung our harps. Sitting by the river, weeping, sorrowful, regretful, talented people, people with great ability, people with powerful anointing on their life, hung their harps on tree branches and said, you know what? I'm not going to sing any longer. I still have the talent. I still have the ability. I just don't have the desire. No motivation. I know people have started the year in fanfare, and people are excited, and there's celebration, and I heard a neighbor cheering, and I heard someone else's fireworks, but I'm just sitting here with no motivation and no passion and no desire. I just don't feel like doing anything. I've come to ask you on this second Sunday of the new year, what have you hung up? What have you hung on a branch somewhere close by? Is it a calling? Is it a serve? Is it a talent? Is it an ability? What have you hung up? And I get it, a loss of spiritual desire is crushing. A loss of spiritual desire, I mean, it is so painful, whether it's brought on by my choice or someone else's choice. I mean, we're always going to have a good reason for doing what we're doing. We're always going to have, when I say good reason, I'm not saying it's valid per se. I'm just saying we're always going to categorize or present that or create, dare I say, an excuse, if I can be so bold in teaching today. We're always going to have a good reason for doing what we've done. But I'm not sure that God is in that. I'm not sure that God is a part of that. They hung their harps on that willow. They hung their harps on that branch. Maybe it was something that I did. Maybe it was something that was done to me. But I literally heard the Lord saying to me a few weeks ago, preparing for the new year. He said, I want to heal them so that they can sing again. I want to help them find their song that they can sing, not just the first few weeks of 24, not just during the 21 days of sacred season, not just until Revival Sunday comes or goes, or an Anointing Sunday comes. No, I want them to be able to sing all year long. I want to put a song in their heart. I want to put a song in their spirit. I want their soul to start singing at the beginning of the year and last all year long. I want to heal them so that they can sing again. And it's crazy to me when you read this story, it's crazy that while they are in captivity, they're still being asked to sing. If you read it, it's fascinating. Their enemies ultimately are mocking them. Sing those God songs now. Now that you're over here in Babylon, now that you're over here in captivity, now that we have you a slave to sin, now that we have you a slave to circumstance, go ahead and sing. We've heard about your song. We've heard about your serve. We've heard about the anointing on your life. We've heard about victory and God's banner over you. Go ahead and let's hear you sing now. You ever been mocked by the enemy? You ever been mocked by your circumstance? You ever been pushed around and bullied by the devil who thinks he has the upper hand in your life? Go ahead and sing. Sing those God songs. All of us have been there. We get in the trial of our life and the devil starts asking you about your praise. Come on, how do you feel about worship now? You're facing a disease. You're facing a diagnosis. A cancer showed up. Tell me about your praise now. Tell me about your worship now. That's what the enemy wants to do. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Go ahead, perform for us. Go ahead, let's see you do your dance. Remember, you've got this eclectic group of people with different experiences. Each of them going through different things, challenged, living in difficult times. And yet it looks like so many of us in this room. Sing us a God song. Let's see you worship while I have your life messed up. I hear the enemy mocking. I hear the enemy taunting. I hear the enemy just hissing into some of the ears in this room. Go ahead and sing. Sing while you're going through what you are going through. Listen, I plan to sing my way through 2024. I may not have it all together. I may not be running any races, and literally I'm not running any races. I may not have it all worked out, but you know what? I am not the same person I was in 2023. I am in a new year. I've got fresh anointing on my life, and I refuse to stay quiet. I refuse to just be over in a corner just muddling to myself. No, I've got a song and I want to sing this song. I want to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. And you know what? I refuse to wait until I have it all together before I start singing, because picture perfect is not reality. I know we got filters for everything now. We just cover it up if we're having a bad hair day. We just fix it. We got a filter to fix it. We got filters making us skinny. The problem is when we see you in person, what? We're shocked. pardon us. Give us just a minute to kind of come to terms with what we've been faced with. But if I'll sing now, while things are not perfect, I'll be able to shout later. If you can sing while the finances are on the bottom, you'll be able to shout when the blessing comes in. If you'll sing when the relationship is a struggle, you'll be able to shout when it's thriving and a joy and a blessing to your life. Here the enemy is saying, go ahead. We want to see you worship. I have to believe that on some level, the enemy misses being a part of heaven's worship. I have to believe that on some level he despises the choice that he made, but yet here he is now ruling the prince and power of the air and all of that stuff. But somewhere down deep, he's got to be miserable about what he used to have and what he used to feel and what he used to know and what he used to walk in. And so when he gets around you, who he's just firing one dart after another in your life, and he just comes with a little more hell and a little more crisis and a little more challenge and a little more difficulty. When he sees you worshiping anyway, when he sees you praising anyway, when he sees you lifting hands that are weakened by disease, when he sees you lifting a voice that is weakened because there's been so much worry. I don't know what the devil really thinks. He's never going to admit it to you or to me, but I have a feeling that somewhere down inside he's saying, I'm so envious. I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous that they're able to worship and they're able to sing. Hear me. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what 2024 has started off as, but if you will get a song down in your soul that you can sing, if you will get a song of praise, if you will get a song of worship, get you a song of the year. Decide this will be my song. Verse 4, they ask a legit question. They ask an honest question. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? How can we sing the song of the Lord? King James calls it a strange land. How can we sing while we are living in a strange or a foreign land? What is your foreign or strange land? Yana beautifully described hers for us today. During a ministry moment. Just wake up one day in September and something's not right, it's not right. And then here they come with prognosis and diagnosis and you'll never this and you'll never that. And all of a sudden I'm in a strange land. This is not what I planned. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what I wanted. And you better believe it's not just your physical body that's taking a hit. It's not just your physical feeling or condition that takes a toll. It is your faith that takes a toll, that says there's no sense in you worshiping now. There's no sense in you praising now. The bad news has already come. The prognosis has already arrived. You might as well just sit silent. Listen, that's what the enemy wants you to do when difficult times come, when challenging times come. Who in the world am I preaching to on this Sunday morning that needs to find your song even in difficult circumstances, even in foreign lands, even in strange settings? Sing the song of the Lord. What is your strange land? Maybe it's a season. Maybe it's midlife. Maybe it's empty nest. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's fill in the blank with your thing. All I know is that it's hard to sing right now. How can I sing when things are not perfect? Perfection is impossible, so how can I sing while I'm still waiting? How can I sing when things are not quite right? I'm gonna tell you how to sing in a strange land. First of all, three things. First of all, you gotta decide what is sacred. Decide what is sacred. Intentionally use the word decide because it ultimately is our choice. We're waiting for angels to show up. We're waiting for the Lord himself to tap us on the shoulder and whisper the words to our song in an ear, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Every married couple knows in this room that sometimes you don't love them, you barely like them, but you stay faithful and you stay committed because that is the song that you started singing at an altar however many years ago. Sometimes there is chaos and sometimes there is crisis and you have to decide. And you know what? You will have to decide what you are going to make sacred in your life. You have to decide what will be priority in your life. What will be important in your life? What will get the best of you in 2024? You have to decide. Don't make worry sacred. Let me encourage you not to deify doubt. Don't make your doubt God, like, oh, this worry, this anxiety that I'm feeling. No, I decide what is sacred. I know I have some realities. I know I have some circumstances. I know I have some things that I've got to sort through, but that is not getting the best of my attention. That's not getting the best of my mind. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to make him sacred. I'm going to make my prayer time and my worship time and my devotion, I'm going to make that sacred in my life. Those other things will take care of themselves. Those other things will line up to what I make priority in my life. You say, Pastor Darrell, I don't like my circumstances. All right, think higher, sing louder than your situation. Our circumstance, it may be our reality right now, but guess what? I don't have to just sit in that and just look at that at every single moment. I can sing louder than my circumstance, louder than my situation. I can worship louder than my worry. Decide what is sacred. I love Psalm 104:33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Meaning I'm going to live through some things. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. So we have to decide what is sacred. Secondly, we have to realize it's just a season. I've got to decide what is sacred, and I have to realize it's a season. They say nothing is forever, just death and taxes. It's the only thing that's forever. But here's what I've learned. We tend to memorialize the current. What does that mean? That means whatever it is we're going through, whatever is happening, whether good or bad, we think it will never end. If we're in a challenging time, we cannot see beyond the challenging time. If we're in difficult circumstance, we just can't see our way clear of difficult circumstance. So we memorialize the current. And before you know it, we just live in a place of just never getting out, never breaking out. Let me ask you something. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is that's happening in your life, Can you see beyond it? Can you see beyond what you're facing? It's just a season. If it's spoiled, throw it out. Why would you ever keep the bad milk? What you gonna do with it? Throw it away. Why would I keep spoiled mindset? Why would I keep spoiled thinking? Spoiled plans, throw them out. Psalm 27 and 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. So I got to decide what is sacred. I have to realize it's a season. And lastly, I have to choose to sing. In spite of everything, sing. You know what? You know, I've learned there's no praise like a broke praise. I remember one time pastoring in Texas. I can't remember all the reasons why or what the circumstances were, what the economic climate was. I just know we were struggling. Struggling as a church. Early days, and you know, we were just struggling. And just a random day, I go to the post office box to retrieve the mail, and there was a number of items in there. I grabbed them all and was gonna go back to my car and sit there and just process through and work through. And so, you know, the first piece of mail was this bill that we couldn't pay, and the second piece of mail was junk, you know, advertisement. The third envelope I didn't recognize. What is this? And open it up, and it was a $10,000 check. True story. I can't tell you how great a need we were in. I can't describe to you how dire the circumstance or the situation was. But I'm looking at that thing, and I'm waiting, you know, to look the line. This could be yours. Or this is a loan. Deposit this and, you know, pay us back 87% interest. You know, I was looking just front and back, looking for all of the, and no, it was a real check. And then I'm checking the address. Is this addressed to our church? Did this get put into the wrong box? I mean, I'm every reason you can imagine, I'm trying to figure out why this blessing is not ours. Because that's what we do, you know. We deify doubt. And when I finally came to terms with the fact that God had blessed us, our church, at the post office, in the parking lot, I opened the door and got out of the car and lifted my hand. I didn't do it quietly. I said, thank you, Jesus. I give you praise because you know where we are and you know what we're going. People are walking by. One lady walked by and said, well, go ahead then. Praise him. In the parking lot. Had myself a little spell and got back in the car. Put that check up on across the speedometer just so I could just look up at that every now and then, and was going to go through the rest of the mail. Another advertisement, and then another envelope. Open that one. As sure as I'm standing here today, it was another check for $10,000. It's a true story. Same day, two checks, $10,000, $20,000 total. That time I got out of the car and danced. True story. I can't do it now, but I'll get there. I danced in the parking lot, thanking God. Because there is no praise like a broke praise. There is no praise like praise when you're on the bottom. Praise when you are out of options. Praise when nothing is working and nothing is moving and nothing is turning in your direction. As nothing is happening good in your life. Who in the world is hearing this word today that you hear me describing your life to a T? It's broke. It's messed up. It's painful. It feels like it's over. It feels like it is nothing but a mess in your life. I'm calling you to praise God anyway. Anyway, because there is no worship like worship from a place of pain. Sing. I encourage you to get a literal song that is yours all year long. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. I'm done. Why don't you stand with me across the room? He said it in 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. What is the conclusion then? We've presented all of these challenges. We've laid it out. There it is. There it is. The good, the bad, the ugly. What is the conclusion then? He said, let me give it. I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. What is the conclusion that you come to today? Here's my conclusion. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to sing, and I'm going to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm going to declare that God is greater than my circumstance. He is higher than my situation. He is bigger than whatever diagnosis they've given, whatever health scare I've got happening in my life. I am going to sing. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. Gonna sing. My song right now, I think it'll be with me all year long. I don't want you to change what you're doing. Don't change key, but because I like where you are. We're gonna sing that in just a moment. But my song right now is Give Me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have everything else. I want Jesus. I don't want anyone else. I don't need anyone else. You are my one thing. What is your song for 2024? What is God calling you to? I'm going to challenge you this year to sing as a congregation. I've said this before. I go into churches, and I'm so thankful. I'm about to start traveling again, not on Sundays. I'm here every Sunday, but through the week, I'm doing some conferences and revivals, and I'm so thankful that I'm able to get out and start moving again and see what God wants to do around the country and how I can be a part of it. But I go to churches all the time, and people do not sing. There's incredible singing happening on a stage, and it's going this way, but there's nothing coming back this way. And I want to challenge you, sing. Get these songs on a playlist. Lord, help us. I had a pastor, I would lead worship sometimes at the home church, and he would always say, no weather report songs, meaning none of these meaningless songs that have nothing to do with Jesus. Just don't even buy. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're not doing weather report songs here. We're singing songs of worship. We're singing songs of praise. Sing in this house. Sing in this house. And watch God turn your circumstance. I believe it. I believe it.